We chapter 7. We were in chapter 7, verse 8, but I told you that we still had to say a few things about chapter 6, but for the present, if you'll take out those sheets that you have in front of you, now on the main side, there is a sort of a question that I've been holding off discussing, and now is the time to begin to discuss it. You see where it says, Chazon Arba HaMalchiyot Dmuyot Chayot Teref, on the left-hand side of the sheet. This is the introduction of the Dat Mikra. That's right, that's right. Just take a look the way I have it over here, do you see? Yeah. Right. Now, this side, right over here. Chapter 7 is the Chazon of the Arba HaMalchiyot. It is the vision of the four kingdoms, Dmuyot Chayot Teref, that have the images of beasts of prey, the Chazon Malchut Adam HaMa'allah, and the ultimate is the vision of the kingdom of the outstanding and exceptional person. There are a number of chapters in Sefer Daniel that talk about the four kingdoms. The fact is, we already learned one in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, when he dreams of this great statue, and the head is of gold, and the other parts of the body are of other metals, and going lower in value than gold. And then ultimately something comes out, a piece of earth comes out of a mountain, and shatters the whole statue. The statue represents four different kingdoms. We will see what they are, because as we say, this chapter is another building block in the whole vision of the four kingdoms. And ultimately, there will be a fifth kingdom. The fifth kingdom is the kingdom of God. If that term doesn't strike you as being the one that we should use, then it's the kingdom of the man of God. Not, that's also not too good. It's really the kingdom of Mashiach. It's the kingdom of a people that will rise above the ashes of a society that is in the process of disintegration. Malchus Am Kadishi Elyon. That's most probably the best way to translate it and to explain it. There's going to be a kingdom of holy people. And that holy people, of course, is going to be Klal Yisrael, and there will be that kingdom. Okay, now, I just want to read through this introduction with you because it says a number of important things. Parashotenu paltachat et chelko asheni shel ha-sefer. The Mefarshim really divide Daniel into two parts. The first six chapters and the second six chapters are a total of 12. Hu sefer ha-chezyonot shechazah Daniel. All of this from here until the end of the sefer of visions that was seen by Daniel. In the first six chapters, of course, we had let's see, what was chapter 1 about? Chapter 1 was about the exile and bringing the children. It was the historic background. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel. The second chapter is the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the dream that he doesn't even remember what the dream was all about. Chapter 3, what was chapter 3? Huh? You know, I don't even remember. I don't even remember.
That was the fiery furnace.
Well, let's take a quick look. Chapter 3. Mishael v'Azariah. Hananiah, Mishael v'Azariah. And they're being thrown into the furnace. Now, 3 and 6. The chapter before, 3 and 6 are similar. They are similar, not only in content, both of them are the act of Kiddush Hashem. Chapter 3 is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Chapter 6 is Daniel into the lion's pit. And the fact is, what we have on this sheet earlier makes the comparison between the two chapters. There, 3 and 6 are very similar in the terms that I use, the words that I used, and they are, in fact, the act of Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name, on the part of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and then on the other hand, it's on the part of Daniah. There are a number of significant differences between the two. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah takes place during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had erected a statue in the valley of Dura, and he wants everybody to bow down to it. The Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name of Daniel, takes place already when the new kingdom Babylon has fallen, and it's now the kingdom of the Medes, Dariovish, who is king of the Medes. And there's another difference. While Nebuchadnezzar, in a sense, feels that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah have defied him, and he wants them thrown into the furnace, Dariovish, king of the Medes, is so upset, so terribly upset, that Daniel is going to be thrown into the pit of lions. He's upset and he tries whatever he can in order to save Daniel. And then when he has to, he doesn't sleep all night, he comes running in the morning, "Daniel, Daniel, are you there?" Two different approaches. Yes. But that's what we're pointing out. It's a new. There's a new king. There's only one thing in which the two are precisely the same. In one respect, aside from the textual use of similar words throughout. But what's the same, and there may be a period of, there certainly is a period of 70 to 80 years that separates between the Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel. The only thing that's precisely the same is, just as Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah are called the Jews, min galuta de Yehud, from the exile of Yehud, 80 years later, Daniel is referred to by the same terms. Despite the fact that he has been standing at the pinnacle of power for all of these years, nothing changes in that respect. They still look at him as min galuta de Yehud. All right. So if we've gone already to chapter 3, so what's chapter 4? Chapter 4 is the dream, the second dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the big tree with the birds and all the fowl of the earth under this great mighty tree. The tree then is chopped down, and all of the birds and the beasts and the fowl spread out to all four corners of the earth, but the root remains locked in the ground. And this is the vision that Daniel explains by saying that because of your haughtiness and your pride, you have been condemned to live with the beasts of the field, unless you will redeem yourself with charity, which Nebuchadnezzar does, until a year later when he's walking upon the ramparts of his palace and he looks out over all of Babel. He becomes overwhelmed by a sense of his own importance, and as the words are still in his mouth, "My, what a great Babel I have built," down comes this. He's overwhelmed and overcome by his sense of, beastliness. And he ends up as one of the beasts of the field. That was chapter 4. Chapter 5, the handwriting on the wall. The handwriting on the wall. That's the end of the kingdom of Persia. Belshazzar, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Ufartin, you have been weighed and measured and found wanting. And then, of course, chapter 6 is Daniel, who prays, and because he prays with his windows, stands at his window that faces the line, and he prays, he's thrown into the lion's den. You know, I like that review, too. You have to review. If you don't review, you don't remember anything. That's the way it is. You know, we lead busy lives, and we have all sorts of things on our minds. Okay, so back to our introduction here. It's the second half of Daniel. The second half of Daniel is called by the Mefarshim Sefer HaChezyonot, the Sefer of the Visions. בייחודם של חזיונות אלו ובמעלתם הנבואית נחלקו קדמוננו. There is a difference of opinion between the Mephorshim, what level of Ruach HaKodesh or prophecy is involved over here. The question is, what is Daniel? What is Daniel? Is Daniel a man with great Ruach HaKodesh? Is he a prophet? Now there's a difference between Ruach HaKodesh and prophecy. There are different levels. And even when we talk in terms of dreams, there are different levels of dreams. There is the real prophetic dream. God, in fact, in Torah says about my prophets, Bechalom Adaber Bo, I speak to him in a dream. And in, for example, in Bereshis, there are a number of dreams that are, in fact, prophetic. Yaakov dreams about the angels of heaven going up and down a ladder. There are a number of times where it says that God appeared to Avraham, B'tar Deimar, when he's overwhelmed by a tremendous deep sleep. And these are prophetic communications, but a chalom is a particular level of prophecy. Fascinating machlokas of all is, most probably it's difficult for us even to understand the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Remember the three angels, the three Arab traveler angels who come to Avram. The Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim says it never happened. It was all a dream. All these years, don't tell me how many years each one of you has assumed that here there are these three fellows, dusty road. We can see the whole thing in our mind's eye. It's a hot day, and there's a tent, and there's Avram. He's sitting there. God comes to him. We see Yishmael running to the to bring the animals to be slaughtered, and there is Sarah going ahead, and she's making all sorts of breads and cakes and who knows what. And according to the Rambam, it was all a vision. And the purpose of... Yes, I'm not going to go into that. There's so much, I'll never get through it. Listen, remember, whatever I'm saying over here is an answer to a question that you asked about 2 months ago. You asked, was Daniel a Navi? I'm telling you, Riva, I remember you asked. And I'm answering your question. So what happened over there, that's a big Ramban. That's something for a Parsha Shir, because the Ramban says no, everything in fact... He says everything in fact happened, so calm down. Everything did indeed happen. According to the Rambam, it was all a dream, and he sees all of this. Now, I mean, I could easily answer, the truth is we could easily answer that in a sense, the Rebbe Yishol knows, and Avram knows, that there is some kind of skepticism in Sarah, that she just can't believe it. But all of this takes place in a vision. According to the Rambam, no, this is... That happened. It was real. Now, what happened over here? Huh?
The message was coming from God to Avram. It didn't matter if he...
That's true. Well, it's true. It doesn't really matter as long as he gets the message. The question is, all that I wanted to point out is that there's a Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim that says that this was all a dream or a vision. In other words, dreams and visions can be prophetic. And dreams can be very real. They can be very real. You can really, I mean, I think all of us have had the experience of, you know, you have a dream and you see things. Don't believe it all. Don't believe it all. We're not yet at that level. But watch. What about the visions? And we're going to have a number of chapters, the visions of Daniel. What level of prophecy or what level altogether are they? The Reish Samach Gimel stands for Apsad Yegon. Rabbi Sadia Gaon, Hitimet Yehudam, he points out that they are unique. Uve Perushol LePasuk Bet Kan Katav, in his Perush on the second pasuk in this chapter, writes that Chesyonot Daniel Hayu Miyuchadim Lo Levado, Lo Nishma Klal Ki Shum Adam Ra'ak Kiyotze B'Machazeze. He says, first of all, he points out that the visions of Daniel were uniquely to Daniel. We don't know of any other person who had visions of this sort. So he points out, Rav Sadia Gaon says, you should know, nobody else, all of the people of Tanakh, nobody saw the kind of things that Daniel saw. He was shown history. Rav Avraham Ibn Ezra Patachat Pelusho Kam V'Katav begins his commentary on this seventh parak by writing, Ata Ochel Lefaresh Et HaNevuot. By using that one word, the Ibn Ezra is saying, this is real, real prophecy. Reshud Aleph, this is also worthwhile learning, all of these abbreviations. Reshud Aleph is Reb Yitzchak Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says, Shet Chalom Daniel Kan, Yesh Limnot Im Chalomot HaNevuyim, Shenemar Aleim, Pechalom Adaberbo. This is the pasuk I quoted also. This, earlier, this dream fits into the dreams about which God, when he speaks to Miriam, at the end of Parshat Baalotcha, at the end of Parshat Baalotcha, it says that Miriam talked about her brother Moshe, about the Isha Kushit Ashelokach, the Kushite woman that he had taken, and she is struck down with Tzara'at, and God has to explain to her that, you know, you have to understand that Moshe is different than all other prophets. All other prophets, Bechalom Adabebo, I will speak to them in dreams, in all sorts of other ways. But Moshe, Ponim El Ponim Adabebo, I speak to him face to face. Bimarev lo bechidot, there are no riddles, there are no visions, just like a man would speak to his fellow man. That's the way I talk to Moshe. Yeah, there, God says to her that there are all sorts of forms of prophecy, and most prophets, Bechalom Adabeba, I speak to him in a dream. This is a dream. And if it's a dream, the Abarbanel says this is a prophetic dream. It's one of the levels of prophecy. V'od katav, sheshar hasagatav hayu b'mareu u'b'chazon. He says there were other ideas that were achieved, grasped by Daniel, that were in visions. Mare en chazon. Ulushitato yesh lahavchin b'chazionot Daniel b'hadragam u'chuvenet min hakal el hakaved. Now, he says that according to the Abarbanel, there is going to be a movement in Daniel. Each vision is going to become more intense and more prophetic. He's going to begin with some kind of a nebulous vision that may be a Ruach HaKodesh or step beyond Ruach HaKodesh, and it's going to intensify until ultimately it's going to achieve the level of prophecy. Ulushitato, according to the Abarbanel, yesh lahavchin, we have to be able to differentiate b'chezyonot Daniel, in the visions of Daniel, b'hadraga, moving in step by step, mechuvenet, clearly defined in advance, min hakal el hakaved, from the lower, lighter level of prophecy to the more heavy. Madrigat, midargat hachalom nevui shuhu madrega kala ad marotav v'chezionotav v'emshech ha-sefer shehen v'madrega gvora yoter. He says it begins with what we will call, say, light dreams, and it intensifies until it becomes prophecy. Maybe this is necessary for Daniel himself in order to be able to absorb this, rather than all of it coming down upon him in an intense prophecy. I think what's important to know is, of course, historically, the curtain is beginning to come down on the period of prophecy. Prophecy is coming to an end. It's the period of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the last of the prophets. In a sense, if I'm to use a metaphor, can you imagine a bulb as it's beginning to go out? It dims, or if I don't even have to use that, if you have a dimmer, right? When you have the light at full intensity, that is the highest level of prophecy. But now we're talking about a period of time in history where the light is becoming dimmer and dimmer until in terms of prophecy, absolute darkness is going to prevail. But as it weakens, you know, sometime before blackout, remember the blackout in Haranoff a few weeks ago? Yeah. So the lights flicker and go off, and then all of a sudden, a moment later, they're back on again, and you think, oh, it's all over. And then it starts to flicker again, it goes off. That's what's happening right now in terms of prophecy. It's flickering until it's going to go out, so that even for Daniel to receive the great chalom and the great chazon, it has to move. In other words, it's sort of flickering, then it gets intense, and then ultimately, after it's all over, the lights are out. But according to Chazal, of course, after the period of prophecy, we entered into a different period, which was the period of Bat Kol. There were people who were able to hear voices coming from heaven. I mean, they were really able to hear it. We're not talking about people who just hear voices. The Gemara says about Rava and Abaya that they told him every Erev Shabbos, they told him good Shabbos from heaven. You understand? From heaven. Rava received Erev Shabbos. Rava, Shabbat Shalom. I don't know, or Agudin Shabbos, I'm not sure precisely what heaven said. There were rabbis, Amaloyim, we're talking about in the 3rd, 4th century, who were greeted min HaShemayim on Erev Yom Kippur, once a year at Erev Yom Kippur. Then, of course, I mean, we know that there have been people of Ruach HaKodesh. Precisely what Ruach HaKodesh means, I don't know, but then, there, of course, there are those who had Gilui Eliyahu. That's another level, Gilui Eliyahu. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote a sefer. Rabbi Yosef Karo, who in the 16th century wrote the Shulchan Aruch, wrote a sefer on the conversations that he had with Eliyahu HaNavi, you understand? Huh? No, Tanna Dvei Eliyahu was something else. This is not Parashat Drachim. The name of the sefer, you know, eludes me at this moment, but it'll come back to me. In the middle of the night, most probably in a vision. Yes?
We have a book, Chazon Yishayahu.
We have the problem what Daniel was. Of course, in a moment, we're going to see in the Moron Avuchim, the Rambam is going to take a position also. And of course, what should have occurred to you immediately is, of course, the fact that Sefer Daniel does not appear in Nevi'im, but Chachmei Yisrael made it as part of Ksuvim. Tanakh is divided into Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. What's the difference between Nevi'im and Ketuvim? Nevi'im was written by prophets, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, the 12 so-called minor prophets, not because they were minor in prophecy, but because they wrote less than Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel. And then after Torah and Nevi'im comes the third part, which is Ketuvim. Ketuvim, usually it is understood, that's Tehillim, Mishlei, Iyov, the Megillot, all of those are part of the Ketuvim. Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, all of these are the Ketuvim. And usually the differentiation between Nevi'im and Ketuvim is that Nevi'im is really the level of prophecy, but Ketuvim is one level lower. It could be Ruach HaKodesh. So let's go a little further. Ve'ilu l'shitas ha-Rambam, chalomotav shel Daniel hem lemato min ha-dargo ha-omur bo b'chalom ha-dare bo. According to the Rambam, the visions of Daniel are below what God tells Miriam at the end of Parshat Ba'alotcha. Behalom adaber bo, halom is a dream, is a genuine form of prophecy. And the Rambam therefore says that Daniel is one level below that. Vod Katavsham, he also writes over there, Daniel Timtzeehu Omer Bistam Shehem Chalomot, Afal Pishu Roa Behem Malach Vishomea Dvarim, the Korei Otam Chalomot, the Afilo Achay the Atomi Hen Mashioda Omar Edayin Ledoniel Bechezve Dileila Rozi Gale. even though he, we will see, we haven't seen this yet, but it's going to come, he's going to be talking to angels in his dreams. He's going to meet up with angels, they're going to talk to him, they're going to reveal all sorts of secrets to him, they're going to explain to him what it is that he has seen in his visions. And even after he knows all of this, he still refers to his, to what he sees as visions, visions of the night. Va'amar od, and he also says, Beidayin chalma katav, here we'll see that in the next two psukim. He wrote the dream, Chazei haveit bechezvei im leila. He keeps referring to it as visions of the night. Now, visions of the night is not what we would call prophecy. So the Rambam is saying the fact that Daniel is very careful in the way he always describes what it is that he sees as visions of the night, or as he writes, the visions of my head frightened me, and he says, I stood in wonder at the vision and I didn't understand what it was about. Ulefichach, therefore, says the Rambam, Haskamat kol ha'uma l'sadeh sefer Daniel miklal ketuvim lo min ha'neviim. This is his main proof, really, aside from the words that I used. He seems to be talking about dreams, not prophetic dreams. And he doesn't even understand clearly what he sees in the dreams. He needs the angels to come and explain it to him. The Rambam over here becomes the egalitarian, and since the people, Klal Yisrael, put Daniel amongst the Ksuvim and not amongst the Nevi'im, it means that it was agreed by all of Klal Yisrael that Daniel was one level below real prophecy. Ulefichach haskonat kol ha'uma l'sada sefer Daniel miklal ketuvim lo min ha'nevi'im. Ulefichach ha'iroticha kisug zeh shel nevuah. For example, maybe it's not the best example, but it's an example. Would you say that Paro's dream, when Paro has a dream, is prophecy? Or for that matter, when Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, is it prophecy? A message is being sent. Now the message being sent is just one level below prophecy. That's how the Rambam sees it. Yes. She asks the other prophets, how did they receive their message? This is what the Rambam is differentiating between. God himself says to Miriam at the end of Va'alotcha, Bechalom Adaber Bo. I speak to him in a chalom. But Daniel seems to be using the word Chesvei Laila, the visions of the night. And he doesn't understand it clearly. He needs aid and assistance in understanding it. Therefore, the Rambam says that there are different kinds of dreams. And I'm adding, just like Paro and Nebuchadnezzar also have dreams, and it doesn't occur to anybody that they're prophets. Or if Lavan has a dream at night, we're not going to put Lavan amongst the prophets. It means, therefore, that there must be levels of dreams. There is a dream which is a means by which God communicates with man, and then there is the vision of the night, which is just one level below it. Yes?
The reason they're not prophets, I think, is their dreams, is that they were unable to interpret it. You can't interpret what you see, then you can't be a prophet.
All right, so then, Lavan understands exactly what God's telling him. Don't touch a hair on Jan Yaakov's head. That's what he's being told. And what are we going to do? By the way, the same achloket is going to be with regard to Bilam. Was Bilam a prophet, or was Bilam a magician? What was Bilam? So, because there are different levels, even in dreams, there are different levels. So therefore, it's obvious, and the main proof, of course, that the Rambam brings is the fact that Daniel is amongst the Ksuvim, amongst the holy writings, and not amongst the Nevi'im. So therefore, the level of dream is the level of Ruach, Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, Gedolei Yisrael over the last 1,000 years. Chassidish Rebbes also had dreams, and it doesn't occur to anybody to say that, and I believe that yes, messages were sent. There was a form of, we believe in Ruach HaKodesh. Who was put where by? Klal Yisrael makes a mistake with regard to the Kitvei HaKodesh? A mistake?
No.
Yes!
If it was in Aramaic, it wouldn't have been in Hebrew. Nothing is Aramaic.
All right, so she just now said it couldn't have been Nevuah because it was in Aramaic?
No, it couldn't be in Nevi'im.
It couldn't be in Nevi'im. All right, so the only thing I can come back at her is there's one pasuk in all of Sefer Yirmiyahu that's in Aramaic. But you know, by the way, I know that this came out of the depths of your Zionist neshama, but you may even be right. You may even... very good. Good question. Yeah, very good. Sarah Zagzeya, good. Let the tape hear what you have to say, and everybody else. The Gemara says... And we learn it really from Yonah, that prophecy, and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri explains this at length, that one can have prophecy only in Eretz Yisrael.
What's it? But he started out in Eretz Yisrael.
And that's why it says, Vayokom Yonah Livroach Tarshisha, Yonah got up to flee to Tarshish Melifnei Hashem from before God, says the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says that prophecy only takes place in the land that is Lifnei Hashem, before God. I mean, I would say we can use the example of the telephone. Once you're out at sea, there's no klita anymore. No, it doesn't pick up. A Navi cannot receive nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Yonah flees Milifnei Hashem, from the land that is called Lifnei Hashem, the land of prophecy. However, Yechezkel, so one who received prophecy already while he was in Eretz Yisrael can continue to receive prophecy even outside of Eretz Yisrael if it is be about Eretz Yisrael.
That's why Moshe Yosef.
So I don't know if the Mepharshim say it clearly, but I believe it's the following. Similar to what the Gemara says about, you won't believe it, about Hallel on Purim. The Gemara asks, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? No, there are three answers in the Gemara. One answer in the Gemara is that the reading of the Megillah is like the reading of Hallel when you read the story itself. Ein lecha hallel, there's no greater praise than that. But the Gemara says something else. The Gemara says that you only say hallel on Nes, Sheva Eretz Yisrael. You don't say hallel on a Nes in Chutz Laaretz. The Nes of Purim was a Nes in Chutz Laaretz, so you don't say hallel on that. So the Gemara asks, what about Yitzias Mitzrayim? The Exodus from Egypt was a Nevuah, was a Nes, Sheva Chutz Laaretz, and we say hallel? So the Gemara answers, Kodem shenichnasu la'aretz, before they came into Eretz Yisrael, huchshiru kol ha'aratzos lo marshira. You could say Hallel on a Nes in any country in the world. Once they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, so the only Nes upon which you say Hallel is a Nes of Eretz Yisrael, not a Nes in Chutz Laaretz. So I want to apply that Gemara to the question of prophecy. Before Jews entered Eretz Yisrael as a people and took over the land, so there could be prophecy any place in the world. Once they came to the land, it's Lifnei Hashem, then prophecy became limited here and nowhere else. So that, huh? Thanks. Thanks, Sarah. Very good. Yeah, but there may be reason to what you're saying. I mean, remember you have the Rambam on your side, but the idea, yes, that it is in Aramaic, and the idea that it was in Chutz Laaretz, and now I begin to wonder why indeed some of the Mepharshim don't say this. I'm going to have to go back and look at the text and see why. We really don't know of Daniel having been a prophet before he came. He was a little boy when they brought him to Babel. Yes?
Also, it seems to me that the prophecy of Esther and Daniel are so...
Yeah, absolutely correct. And when I was giving you the muscle of the light that begins to dim, it's because the last few prophets are the most difficult of all to understand. Zechariah. The opening Rashi in Zechariah says, Rashi just says, this is a very difficult sefer to explain. A lot of the visions are so sort of cloudy. It's very difficult to understand them, and that's why they're extremely difficult. 12 chapters, I think, 13 chapters in Zechariah, very difficult to understand. In a sense, Ezra and Nehemiah, of course, there's Ruach HaKodesh there. There certainly is no prophecy, and therefore it becomes a bit easier to understand. Daniel is the one that's in the middle. Daniel is the safer. You're going to come up with stuff over here now that's going to be so difficult to understand. I can understand why Daniel doesn't understand. Because even if it is prophecy, the prophecy is dimming. The lights are going out. You can't see it too clearly. Yes? No, I'm not ready to say that, because Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel are talking about even more distant future than Daniel is. Remember, we talk about it that Yechezkel is going to describe the construction, the plans for the construction of the third Beit HaMikdash. He's going as far off into history. No, the reason why it's not so clear is because the lights are dimming. Prophecy is coming to an end. All right. Okay, that's it. Let's go back to the... let's go back to the chapter, and we hold on to these sheets. Let's run through it, because we ran through it quickly at the end of last week, so let's do it again. Yes? Yes?
Yes?
Yes? Yes? Yes? Yes? Yes? Yes? Yes? Oh, we're going to see them right. That's why I'm going straight to the text, so we're going to see the kingdoms. There's another thing, of course, at the very beginning of this of chapter 7, we're moving back in history. Chapter 6 was when the Medes had already taken over. This vision is Bishnas Chadol Belshazzar Bel Bavel. It means that, you know, we're going to see these visions of the four kingdoms and what's going to happen in the near and the distant future. Daniel saw it over a period of time, and maybe he needed a few visions in order that things should become more and more clear to him. So, Bishnas Chadol Belshazzar. Okay, let's go. We're going to run through text. First year of Belshazzar, king of Babel, Daniel, Chelem Chazor. He saw a dream, Bechezve Reisha al Mishkeve, and the thoughts, the visions of his heart, of his head upon his bed, Beidayin Chelmo Katav. He wrote the dream, Reish Milin Amar, and he wrote the important parts. He didn't write the dream in its entirety. Onei Daniel Vama Daniel said, Chazei Haveit Bechazei Im Laila, I saw in my visions at night, Varu, and behold, Arba Ruchei Shemaya. The Pasuk is going to describe four winds that are coming pounding upon the sea. And it seems as it pounds upon the sea, out come from the sea these unusual beasts. Varu, and behold, the word aru has appeared before, and it's going to appear again in Sefer Daniel. Arba ruchei shemaya, the four winds, and the four winds are coming from the four corners of the heaven. Megichen, they are pounding liyamorabo I would assume it's the Mediterranean. Yam Araba is the Yam HaGadol. V'arba Chevan Ravravin. And four big animals. Chevan are animals. Ravravan. Solkon Minyam arise from the sea. Shonyon Domito, different one from the other. Kadmaito, the first one. Karye, like a lion. V'gapin Dinisharle, and it has wings of an eagle. Chosei Haveit, I saw Adi Meritu Gabe. I saw it, and I kept watching it until the wings fell off, unetilat min ara, and then this animal lifted itself from the earth, va'al raglayin ka'anash hekimat, and it stands up on 2 feet just like a man, ulavav enosh yehivle, and it has the heart of a human being, varu, and behold, cheva ochare tinyona, a second beast, dom yoledov, that seems to have the features of a bear, vilistar chad hekimat, and it seems to be standing in one direction. Here is where we explain, chad sitri, in one direction, hakimat it is standing, utlot ilin bepume, and it has in its mouth, bepuma, in its mouth, there are three ribs, bein shinai, between her teeth, v'chein amrin la, and so it was said to her, somebody says to this animal, kumi, achuli, besar, sagi, get up and eat a lot of meat. But adonah, afterwards, after that, chazei habet, I saw varu, and behold, ochari, another one, kinemar, like a red leopard, v'la gapin arba, and it has 4 wings, di of al gabei, with which it, 4 wings of fowl upon its back, v'arbareishin lechevata, and it has, this beast has four heads, v'sholton yehivla, and it rules. It's sholate, it rules. But Adonah, I think this is what we got up to. This is the fourth. Chazei haveit bechezvei leila, I saw in my vision at night. You see, the idea that he keeps repeating, this is the third or fourth time that he says, in my thoughts at night, the vision at night. You get the feeling as though sort of the vision had receded a bit, and now all of a sudden it gets a little brighter, and he sees again. In other words, he's moving in and out of seeing clearly or being focused. Varu, and he sees again, behold, cheva revi'o'o, a fourth beast, dechila, ve'emetani v'takifa yatira, causes trembling, fearsome, and very mighty. Dechila is from trembling. Emetani, of course, comes from the word ema, fearsome, and takifa yatira, very strong. The Shinayan, the Prazola Ravron, has big teeth of metal. Ochla umadeka, madeka, it eats and crushes. Ushaora beragle rafsan, whatever is left at that with its feet it tramples. Vihimishanya, minkolche vasodaka dama, it is different than all of the beasts that preceded her. The Karnayan asarla, and it has ten horns. Mistakel haveit, I continued looking, bikarnaya, I looked, I focused in on the horns. Va'alu, and behold, keren ochari ze'eda silkot beinean, another keren is a horn. Ochari, another one, ze'eda. Zaira means small. Zair. That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, every so often I begin to walk around the house saying all sorts of things, and one of the things that I even used as the basis of a shir a few weeks ago was when there was still a government. And so there were certain people who remained in the government in order, as we use the words, limazer et hanezek. Limazer et hanezek. Mavdal was saying this. Everybody was being mazer. Limazer means to make the damage smaller. Zeira, minimize. It comes from the Aramaic of Zeira. Zeira means small. So lemazer et hanezek means to diminish and make smaller the damage. You hear that? You see? If you have an asig za'ir, small business. it must be very, very small. Because for them not to take Mas Hachnasa, so Ze'ira. You will see that there are many words of Aramaic that have become included in our modern spoken language. Sukkot Bineon, there's another small horn that arose amongst them, Utlos Min Karnaya Kadmoyota, three of the first regulation size horns. And then a small one begins to sprout, and as a result of the sprouting of the small horn, three of the regulation size horns are uprooted from their place. Valu, Einin, and you know what this little horn has? Einin, the eyes, Ka'ainei Anosha Bekarnoda. This keren, this horn, has the eyes of a human being. Ufum memalil ravravan. You should know all three words. You should know. Fum is a mouth. Memalil means talking. Ravravan, big, big talk. Big talk. It just. Chazei haveid. And I saw, again he repeats, I saw. And as I say, I feel that this repetition of I saw means like it's getting difficult to see, and for a while maybe he doesn't see, but now he sees. Chazei haveid ad the korsavon remiv va'atik yomin yativ. I saw that korsavon is a chair.
No.
A cushioned chair is a kursa. It's something throne-like. Exactly. A chair was placed or put down, and here comes most probably one of the most famous phrases of Daniel, v'atik yomin yativ. Atik yomin. The one who is very ancient. Atik on your wines. You know, the ones that taste like cough syrup, you know, the Israeli kiddish wines that are, iratika, very good, that was an even better one. I just was looking for a word that says atik, and on your wine bottles you'll have yayin yashan or yayin adom, atik is old. Atik yomim means old. Length of days. Who is the one who has the longest number of days? Atik Yomim is the Rebbeinu Shelenu, God. And in the, we will see in the Zemiris a number of times, referred to the Atik Yomim. Yativ, the Atik Yomim sits down. Levushei, his garments, Kitalag, Chivar, Kitalag, Tilag, just it put instead of the top, put a shin. Shelley. Snow White. No, but we're talking about Levushe. His garments are Kitalag Chivar. Chivar is white. So, now you, what word are you referring to, Bill? Oh, when a person becomes chiver, he becomes sort of all white, pale, that's it. Chiver is white, become ashen. Tlag, chiver, is really snow white. Usa'ar reishay, now we're talking about the hair upon his head. Ka'amar nikei. Nikei is with a aleph, not with a hay. It's not a soap. Ka'amar nekei. Amar is wool. Nekei is clean. Tsemer, wool that is pure. That's also white. In other words, a head with white hair. Ka'amar nekei. Korsiei, and his, the chair. That chair that was played, his chair. Shvivende Nur are like sparks or flames of fire. Galgalohi Nur Dalik. And it has wheels. Sort of, it's like the chair of a chariot. A chariot, okay? A fire. Chariot of fire. All right, so we had already how many movies in this Snow White and Chariot of Fire? Yeah, okay. All right. We'll strike that from the record, yes.
I don't remember which movie it was, but wasn't there a
beginning of Yechezkel? You have it in the beginning of Yechezkel, and you have it in chapter 6 of Yeshayahu, where they see Yechezkel's is called Maisa Merkava, the chariot, God's chariot. And that's a chapter that those first chapters of Yechezkel, the Gemara says you're not permitted to learn Pshat in it, because we don't really know Pshat. Yeshayahu, when he begins to say prophecy, which is in chapter 6 of Yeshayahu, he sees this great chair with Malachim, Seraphim all around him, and in a sense he's seeing a little bit of this vision as well. You're right, the chariot of fire represents the Kisei HaKavod. The four directions, that's the beginning of Yechezkel. There are four sides to the throne, and each side of the throne has the faces of different animals. That's Yechezkel, first chapter. Yes, the Ophanayim are the chariot wheels. Those are the Malachim who sort of carry the Kisei HaKavod, so to speak. Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't listen to you on the previous pasuk. That's good. That's right. No. Here it's everything. All four directions. So wait, we don't understand yet. Let's go a little further. Nahar Dinur. Dinur, where is that used in modern Hebrew?
Fireworks.
Zikukin Dinur. That's all sparks of fire. Dinur is fire. Nahar, it's like a river, Dinur, of fire. Nogeid v'nofeik min kodomoi. Nogeid means it flows and it comes out from before him, the Atik Yomin. From him comes out great fire. Elef alfim yesham shunei. Tens of thousands serve him. V'ribo rivivon kodomohi yekumon. In other words, first it talks about thousands of thousands, then it talks about tens of thousands of tens of thousands serve him and stand kodomohi yekumon, stand before him. Dinoyativ. He has sat down to pass judgment. V'sifrin petichu, and the books are open before him. He is sitting in judgment. Yes.
Is it assumed that it's people?
Oh no, these are all not assumed that they're people. They're all angels. All angels. What he's describing right now is the heavenly court of justice. God is sitting in judgment. And here is this great day, the chair is brought, the throne, so to speak, is brought, and here is the picture of the Atik Yomin with a long flowing robe that is as white as snow, and hair on his head that is white like a clean wool. I had a question, somebody called me with a question a few weeks ago. They live in the States. They want to know if there's a Spielberg, big one now, the Prince of Egypt. Can you take, wants to know if you can take a son to see the Prince of Egypt. It's about Moshe, yeah. So I said, and the reason why she asked the question, it seems that there are a number of rabbis who are advisors or consultants. So it can't be too bad, you know. It can't be too bad. So I said, under no circumstances, chas v'shalom zol d'chei v'shtapin. And she was taken aback. She was, really, you feel so strongly about it? I said, listen, everybody has a vision of what Moshe Rabbeinu looked like. And most probably we have a vision, by the way, not too far from the vision that is described over here by Daniel, or you know, the vision of a Zayda with a long flowing white beard with a talus over his head. I don't need a Jewish child to have some kind of an animated character, and the next time he comes to Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Leimar, he's going to see some kind of an animated character, maybe with the face of Charlton Heston, with the arms of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and face. Chas v'sholem that a Jewish child should have that kind of a vision. So I don't care. In other words, because rabbis were consultant, I said, doesn't give badat hashgacha on the Prince of Egypt. So chas v'sholem shouldn't do it.
But he should have his own vision.
Huh? The
child should have his own vision.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Very good, Sarah. That's exactly what I'm saying. But to go ahead and really for all time, what it really means is for all time, the head is going to be assaulted with a vision of Moshe that is going to be destructive to any real serious study of Torah. You're going to have to get that vision, exorcise it out of one's neshama. And if you have problems, I know I can find out the phone number of an exorcist now living in Yerushalayim. If you want anybody who has dibbuks that they want to get rid of. She's laughing, and I'm not kidding. An exorcist has moved to Yerushalayim, so I mean, I can of course tell the there are a lot of living dibbiks walking around Yerushalayim. We can exorcise the whole place. But all right, no, it's not in the yellow pages yet. But anyway, he's sitting in judgment. Chose Haveit again. This must be the sixth or seventh time that he says, "I saw." Beidayin min kol milayo rav ravosa, from the sound of big words, dikarno mimalelo. You remember that little horn, the little horn with the big mouth, and there are three big horns that were removed and uprooted because of that little horn with the big mouth, min kol milayo rav ravosa, from the big words. The karno mimalelo, from the talking horn, chazei haveit, I saw, ad the ketilat chevata, until that beast was killed. Ketilat, of course, unfortunately, is a word that is used. Ketel badrachim. The ketel badrachim. Ketilat chevata vuhuvad gishmei. Uvad means destroyed. Gishmei its body. V'yihivat liyekedat esha. And it was placed, the body was placed or put into liyekedat esha, the burning fire. You remember by when Hanani, Mishol, Ba'azaryo were thrown in the tanuro yakidita, the burning fire. Ushar chevata. And the other beasts, this was only, all of this happened with the fourth beast, Usha'or Chevatar, and the other beasts, He'ediv Sholton Hon. Their rule was removed, V'archa B'chayin Yehivat Lahon Adzman V'idan. Archa B'chayin, now they were removed from their position of Shilton. Well, that's of course a word that's used constantly. The Shilton, Sholtonehen, the rule or the rulers was removed, but Arko Bechayein, they were given length of life, Yehivat Lahon, length of life was given to them, Adzman V'idon, until a time and a period. We don't know how long that is. We don't know what it means yet. Chose Aveit, Nachamol, you see, the lights are, that's, in my mind's eye, I see the lights going on and going off. Or, you know, it's like trying to see clearly, you know, at night, what do they have? The army has night vision. He's having problems with night vision. even the dream doesn't come easy to him. When it says, for example, that Yaakov had a dream, it says, he had a dream, and he saw such. Finished. Over here, he keeps repeating how he sees. In the visions of the night, varu, and behold. Oh, this is a pasuk. This is a pasuk. I don't know, every time I come to a pasuk, I think that this is the most famous one in Daniel. I think this one is. Varu, and behold, im... Don't get nervous. I'll wait for you as you put in... You sure that you're putting the batteries in right? Okay? It's working? Okay. I have a great deal of sympathy for anybody who doesn't know how to use a paper cutter. All right. Varu, and behold, imanane shmaya, with the clouds of the heaven... Kivar enosh otei hava, somebody who looks like a human being, a man, otei came, hava was coming. Va'ad atik yomayo mito, and you know where he reached? This man who's coming with the clouds of the heavens, he reaches the atik yomayo, the ancient one. Ukedomohi hakrivuhi, and before the ancient one, they brought him. They bring him before the ancient one. Here I can tell you, the Gemara asks the famous question, Zechariah sees Mashiach coming, Oni Rochev al Hachamor, a poor man riding on a donkey. And the Gemara asks, but wait a minute, there's another vision of Mashiach, and that vision is Varu Imananesh Mayo, this passage, behold, with the clouds of the heavens. So how will he come? Is he going to come Oni Rochev Alachamor, a poor man riding on a donkey, or is he going to come with the clouds of the heaven? One of them seems to describe a miraculous appearance of Mashiach, and the other seems to describe a very simple, maybe even poverty-stricken coming of the Mashiach, says the Gemara. And the Gemara is going to say this on a number of psukim. Zachu, if Israel is worthy, then this pasuk in Daniel, Va'aru, and behold, he's going to come with the clouds of the heavens. Lo Zachu, if they are unworthy, then Mashiach is going to come Oni Rochev Halachamor, poor man riding on a donkey. What it really represents is not only the difference between a majestic and a grand appearance of the Mashiach, or a, well, less than grand appearance, but these two psukim are of great significance for our time, because the Mefarshim explain the following, that Mashiach can come either through a revolutionary moment in history, or he can come through an evolutionary process. The Oni Rochev Alachamor represents a tahalich, a process. The process can take 100, 200, 300 years. The process may mean Jews coming back 100 years ago to Eretz Yisrael. At the turn of the century, there are already fields. In the middle 20s and 30s, there are tomatoes growing in the country. In other words, it takes till 48 until there is a state and then there's an army. It's all part of an evolutionary process. The evolutionary process is described as Oni Rochev Halachamor, the poor man, you know, it goes slowly. It doesn't come quickly. It's not one single swift stroke from heaven. Daniel is describing another possibility. And the other possibility is that if Israel is worthy, then he will come, the Mashiach is going to come. Behold, yeah, you're going to get up in the morning and im ananei shemayo, there is a Mashiach. The Gemara is going to say the same thing with regard to another pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu says, Vani Hashem, I God, be'ita, in her time, achi shena, I will hasten her. So the Gemara understands that the pasuk is talking about the coming of the Mashiach. So they say, if it's be'ita in its time, so it comes in its time, then it's not hastened. And if it's achi shena, it's hastened, then it's not in its time. So the Gemara says the same answer. Zahu, if Israel is worthy, Achishena, I will hasten the coming of the Messianic era. If they are unworthy, then it will still come in its time, Be'ita, in that evolutionary process is going to come, which of course means even if Jews are unworthy, we're not big tzaddikim, but the time that has been set for the coming of the Mashiach is going to be. All right, first Riva.
Couldn't the word of the God be Mashiach be Yeltsin?
What can I do? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, no, that they're both Mashiach ben David. And one describes the evolutionary, one describes the revolutionary. I can't do anything about it. Yes. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, so now I have to remember. I think it's Daf Tzadik Chet, but I'm going to have to check. I don't remember the Daf offhand. Huh? What's he say? What did he say? Tzadik Chet. Oh, that's what I just said. Oh, am I impressed? Am I impressed? Tzadik Chet. Okay. Oh, so you have it. Is that fortunate? All right, right. Now, how do we know that this fellow who's coming, this Bar Enash, this human being who's coming out of clouds, how do we know that this is Mashiach? The next pasuk. And this is the correct place to end this year. This chapter has 28 psukim. And the chapter is divided precisely in half. The first 14 are the vision. The second 14 are the explanation of the vision. So if we learn Pasuk Yud Dalet now, Kim won't have to remind us all next week that we start with Pasuk 15. The first 14 psukim are the vision. The second 14 psukim are the explanation. Delay, Pasuk 14, delay and to him Yehiv Sholton V'Yakor U'Malchu. You know what's going to be given to that person? To him will be given rule, honor, and kingdom. V'chol amamaya umaya v'lishamaya. And all peoples, nations, and tongues lay yiflichon. To him they will serve. And sholtonei sholtan olam. His kingdom is a kingdom forever. Dilo ye'edei. That will never be removed. Umalchuta. His kingdom is a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Here we know that we're talking about the ultimate kingdom, which is the kingdom of Mashiach. The four previous great frightening beasts are the ones that were removed from kingdom, but the ultimate kingdom is going to be to him. That's Mashiach. Okay, next week in Yitzhak Hashem, second part.